Good morning, everyone, and welcome to a wonderful, cool autumn day. Looks like we're beginning to cool down and then move into my favorite time of the year, which is autumn. Let me ask you something before we get into our study today. Do you believe that Jesus actually did all the miracles recorded in the Bible that he did? Well, come on now. Do you really? Do you really believe he did those things? Well, secondly, as we've already looked in the Gospel of John, do you believe that Jesus was in the beginning of all things and he had a hand in creating everything that we can see? Do you believe that? Okay. Thirdly, do you believe that God is still doing miracles today? Well, I'm going to answer that one for you. I believe that God does still do miracles today, as long as he gets the glory and not somebody else. So let's just move on with our study of Jesus. Do you believe that he will return one day and wrap everything up? These are pretty profound statements. Oh, and we believe he's going to take us out of here before he starts wrapping things up. Well, some say, most of us say, yeah, we believe that. But there might be some who say, listen, I've never seen a miracle, therefore, I still have my doubts. Fair enough. But there's a man in the Bible who had the same problem. And his name just happens to be Thomas. And we're going to go over to John chapter 20, and we're going to look at his story and how Jesus responded to him. And perhaps you're one of those who has doubts. Well, hope this helps you today. Lord, open our eyes today. Use this passage of Scripture for your glory. Help us to learn from it. And may it encourage those who are struggling in their belief to choose to believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's go over to John chapter 20. But before we get into our study, I want you to keep in mind that the events that are about to take place took place just after the Lord's resurrection. So John 20, verses 19 through 21. When it was evening on that first day of the week, the disciples were gathered together with the doors locked because they feared the Jews. And Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be unto you." Now, I've often wondered, I guess that's just a common phrase, "Peace be unto you." But if Jesus came into the room when the doors were locked, they would need that "peace be unto you" from Jesus, or at least I would. Verse 20. Having said this, he showed them his hands and his side. So the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And that's one of the recordings of the Great Commission, where he sends us all the way into the world. All of us. Jesus walks into the room. He shows his hands and his feet, where the nail scars were in his hands and in his feet, and they all believed. That would be easy enough, wouldn't it? To be able to see the nail prints in his hands and his feet. But there was someone who wasn't there, verses 24 through 25. But Thomas, called Twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And so the other disciples were telling him, "We have seen the Lord." Yeah, I'm sure they were excited. But he said to them, "If I don't see the marks of the nails in his hands, put my finger into the mark of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will never believe." You ever been like Thomas? Well, there's a lot of people who are just like Thomas. And as I said before, say, "Nope, I haven't seen anything like this. And if I don't see it with my own eyes, it didn't happen. I don't believe it. After all, today, we live in the world of statistical analysis, and it seems like the statistic is the only reality in a lot of people's minds. And that is black and white stuff. All I can say, what an incredibly boring way to live. Where's the mystery and the awe of being amazed with things that you see? Well, after Thomas said the things that he did, Jesus had some words for him. Go with me to verse number 26 and 28. A week later, his disciples were indoors again, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus came in and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he looked at Thomas and he said, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Don't be faithless, but believe." Thomas responded to him, "My Lord and my God." Thomas finally had it his way. He was able to see Jesus with his own eyes. He was able to see the nail prints. He was able to reach out and put his hand in the deep wound that Jesus received while on the cross, which in his side. And then he responds, "My Lord and my God." You may say, well, when I see Jesus with my own eyes, then I will believe. Well, listen. Jesus has a word for you as he responds to Thomas. Verse number 29. Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed, Thomas. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." You see, there's a lot of us who believe and we haven't seen Jesus with our eyes. And we, according to Jesus, are supposed to be blessed people. Well, what does that mean? I'm not totally sure, but I intend to find out. I'm going to be greedy. I want all the blessings of the Lord that I can get. How about you? So, even though we can't see Jesus physically, how are we supposed to see and learn about the things that he did? Well, John gives us the answer, and this is actually the purpose for the Gospel of John, verses 30 through 31. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah. That's the purpose. He's the Messiah, the Son of God. And that by believing, you may have life in his name. That's the whole purpose for the Gospel of John. You see, I believe reading through and studying the Gospel of John, we can better understand just who Jesus is. Now go with me back to John chapter 2, and we'll dig into some of those amazing things that Jesus did. We've already seen where Jesus and God were both together and they had their hands in the beginning of all things. And then we watched Jesus as he was being introduced to us through the ministry of John the Baptist. Now we will begin looking at the things that he did. John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana of Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. Well, nothing unusual here. But then things began to change a little bit. Verse 3 and 4. When the wine ran out, Jesus' mother told him, "They don't have any wine. What has this concern of yours to do with me, woman?" Jesus asked. "My hour is not yet come." I can see the scene. All right, go ahead and imagine it. The wine has run out and somebody's going to be in trouble. Mary simply says, they don't have any wine. And she probably used that mother's look. You know that look? She says, Jesus, they don't have any wine. And that look says, what are you going to do about it? Well, Jesus responds, what does this have to do with me? He wasn't ready to get started. And here goes that mother's instinct again. Verse 5. Do whatever he tells you, his mother told the servants. Now hang on a minute. Didn't Jesus just say that this wine was none of his business? Mary ignores his comment and tells the servants to do whatever Jesus said. Mary ignores the Son of God. I've often wondered, how did she get by with that? Well, she is his mother. Well, let's see what happens. Verses 6 and 7. Now, 6 stone water jars had been set there for Jewish purification. Each one would contain 20 to 30 gallons. Fill the jars with water, Jesus told them, so they filled them to the brim. Well, there's nothing unusual about that. Verse number 8. Then he said to them, now draw some out and take it to the head waiter. And they did. Now, we have a problem. What if someone told you to take a dip out of water and take it to a head waiter that's expecting wine? What would you do? You see, they could be kicked out. This head waiter could get very angry. These servants, their reputation is on the line. What would you do? Well, they did it anyway. See, that's a great place for a Christian to live. Do it anyway. When God leads you to do something that doesn't make sense, do it anyway. When God asks you to forgive someone that you really don't want to forgive, do it anyway. Listen to this. The moment of decision to trust Jesus in a challenge is the moment we stop trusting human reasoning and start trusting God's supernatural power. Let me repeat that. The moment of decision to trust Jesus in a challenge is the moment that we stop trusting human reasoning and start trusting God's supernatural power. When it comes your time to do that, what will you do? Well, let's get back to our story. Verse number 9. When the head waiter tasted the water after it had become wine, he did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. And he called the groom. Look, no one in the party knew what had just taken place, but the servants who put the water in the jugs and carried it to the head waiter knew exactly what had happened, and they knew that some kind of incredible miracle had just taken place. You see, to me, the guest getting a better wine at the end of the party is not the whole point. The whole point of this story, the whole point of this gospel, is that people will see and believe in Jesus. Do you think the servants believed? I bet they did. And like I said, But they did a lot of talking about this man, Jesus. But there is one more point that we want to look at. And this is the rest of the story, verses 10 through 11. And told them, everyone sets out the wine first, then, after the people are drunk, the inferior. But you have kept the fine wine until now. So what Jesus did was the best wine possible. Now, verse number 11. Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee. He revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Again, the whole point of the gospel is that people will see Jesus and believe. You can betcha the servants believed. The disciples believed. Now let me ask you, do you believe? This is your time to choose to believe. May I invite you to believe in Jesus. And if we'll believe in Him and trust Him as our Lord and Savior, then we can be a follower of His and be a child of Almighty God. Won't you do that today? Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for these things that we've talked about out of the Gospel of John. Thank you that John's whole writing is the people, so that people can see and believe. And I pray today there have been those who have seen the truth of Jesus and they have chosen to believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let's just worship some with City of Light.